this. The ABLE Act has a lot of uses and a lot of benefits beyond just the ABLE Act itself, because it could be a catalyst for, you know, once again, as an advocate, I am always working to try to get the disability community to work with the legal community and the special needs practitioners, and for us all to behave like stakeholders, and Texas is great with that. So I want to give Chris as much time as I can. The other thing with it is I did modify the PowerPoint a little bit just to make it easier for me, but I am going to upload the PowerPoint as a PowerPoint here for you guys to download. If you want to take this thing and modify it, you're free to use it, okay? So let's go through this thing. So we're going to go through the basics a little bit. For those of you that are following this, just because of time, I blacked out a lot of slides. So, you know, we're going to jump around a little bit. So this is a new tool. We talked about this last year, and it has very specific applications. And it's important to understand when an ABLE account is the right tool, when it's other options like special needs trusts are a better tool. And my suspicion is, in many cases, we're going to be using both of these tools. So. But the real need here, the real focus we need to have, and especially when you're giving presentations on this, is not just the ABLE Act, Special Needs Trust, and that kind of thing, but what we're really looking at is sustainable funding sources for persons with disabilities to focus on quality of life. The whole deinstitutionalization movement is not the goal of putting disabled people on welfare programs. It's for quality of life and moving into the community. So anyway, starting in 2015, states will have the option to establish ABLE programs. And we've seen this change a lot over the last few years. And a lot of this is modeled very loosely